Thank you for the introduction. I would like to begin by thanking my co-authors, Dr. Roger Leonard and Josh Temple. This research is being performed as a component of my dissertation. The fall armyworm, Spidoptera frugiperda, is a migratory pest of a variety of crops throughout the United States, including cotton. This species lacks a diapause mechanism, and so it migrates each year northward into the U.S. from areas such as southern Florida, southern Texas, Mexico, and the Caribbean islands. When attempting to control the fall armyworm through conventional chemical methods, typically we're forced to use increased rates of insecticides compared to those that we use to control the bollworm and tobacco budworm. In addition, the dispersal of this species low within the plant canopy makes control difficult even when using these increased rates. Here we have an example of an insecticide droplet deposition study. In the center, you can see the portions of our deposition cards with the representing the upper, middle, and if I can get this to work, and lower portions of the plant canopy. In the upper portion of the plant canopy, deposition as well as distribution of droplets is very good, while in the middle portion of the plant canopy, deposition is not only reduced, but coverage is not as good either. And in the lower portion of the plant canopy, distribution of droplets is almost non-detectable. Given this information, it is now and will continue to be necessary to find additional technologies to control this sporadic yet damaging secondary Lepidopteran pest. We currently have several available BT technologies today. In 1996, Monsanto released Bollguard cotton, which expresses the Cry1AC protein, providing growers with control of the tobacco budworm and pink bollworm. In 2004, Bollguard 2 was released by Monsanto, expressing Cry1AC and Cry2AB. The addition of Cry2AB improving control of budworm and pink bollworm while providing additional control of the bollworm and other secondary Lepidopteran pests. Dow AgroSciences then in 2005 released WideStrike technology, which stacked Cry1AC with Cry1F. Cry1F being added in with much the same goal in mind as Cry2AB and Bollguard 2, in that it provided additional control of the bollworm and secondary Lepidopteran pest, while also notably improving fall armyworm control. Presently, Syngenta Crop Protection is working on developing VipCot technology, which stacks VIP3A with Cry1AB, and this technology could come online as soon as later this year. Bayer Crop Science is also working on a technology, which is a stack gene technology, referred to as TwinLink, which could be available as soon as 2012. In the future, we will see Bollguard 3 and beyond, which will utilize stack gene technology, as well as hybrids of the proteins we currently see today. VipCot technology is a novel combination of BT proteins, VIP3A and Cry1AB. VIP3A has a mode of action which is different from the cry proteins seen in current varieties. VIP3A is classified as an exotoxin, while other cry proteins seen in Bollguard, Bollguard 2, and WideStrike are endotoxins. The addition of Cry1AB also improves control of our target pests. The objective of these studies was to evaluate VipCot technology against fall armyworm in no-choice laboratory tests. These studies were conducted at the LSU Ag Center's Macon Ridge Research Station in Winnsboro in northeast Louisiana. These were laboratory trials conducted using fresh plant material harvested directly from field plots and were no-choice assays. The fall armyworm colony we used in this study was field collected from cotton in 2005 and was supplemented with collections from corn in both 2006 and 2008. It has been maintained in the laboratory throughout that time. Through personal communication with Dr. Rod Negoshi at the USDA ARS at Gainesville, Florida, we have confirmed that this colony is of the corn-cotton strain. Just a quick rundown of our rearing procedures that we utilize. They're very similar to those utilized in other laboratories. Our adults are kept in plastic buckets with a cheesecloth lid, which serves as an ovipositional surface. Once oviposition occurs, these eggs are then moved to plastic bags, where they are allowed to remain until larval eclosion, at which time they are then shaken into 8-ounce cups containing a corn-based meritic diet, allowed to remain there until they're approximately the L2 stage, where we then separate them individually into 1-ounce diet cups containing the same diet, and they're allowed to continue their development until they are ready for infestation or to continue the colony. Fall armyworm larvae used in this study were third instar, and they were verified as being such by weighing each larva out individually to ensure that it was in the 30 to 45 milligram weight range. We evaluated three cotton lines in this study: Vipcot, which is of an advanced Coker background, a Bolgard variety, Stoneville 5599, and a conventional non-BT variety, Phytogen 425. All three lines were evaluated on both squares, approximately 1/4 inch in size, and white flowers. All structures, preference being shown for structures which were in the first position when available. When infesting fall armyworms, for square infestations, an individual larvae was placed into a 1-ounce cup along with three squares which had been debracted and washed gently before being placed into the cup. For flower infestations, a larger cup was used to accommodate the increased size of a white flower, and again, just one larva per cup was used. Plant material was replaced approximately every 2 to 3 days, or more often as needed, depending on desiccation of plant tissue. Survivorship and pupation was also recorded at the same times at which we replaced plant tissue, every 2 to 3 days. Our endpoints were larval survivorship and cumulative survivorship, with larval survivorship being defined as 100% pupation in the control, and with cumulative survivorship representing 100% adult eclosion across all lines evaluated. This was done in a randomized complete block design, where we replicated it over time, different cohorts of insects, as well as different points in the growing season. Data were analyzed using PROC-GLM and means separated using Tukey studentized range test. This is just another representation of our endpoints, representing a surviving larva, a successfully pupated larva, and an adult after successful eclosion. I'll take a moment to set up this slide. On the x-axis is the number of days after infestation of a third instar larva, and on the y-axis is percent survival. The color scheme is represented by the conventional non-BT line in blue, Bolgard in yellow, and Vipcot in red. A similar design and color scheme will follow on all subsequent data slides. This slide represents larval survival on squares. No mortality was seen until 3 days after infestation. And at our endpoint of 22 days, at which point 100% pupation was seen on the conventional non-BT, survival was 55% on the non-BT line, compared with 35% on the Bolgard line and 0% on Vipcot. At this same endpoint for Bolgard 2 and Wide Strike, survival was 5% and 0% respectively. This slide represents just a different representation of the previously shown data, where we're focusing directly on pupation. The endpoints are the same, but the take-home message essentially from this is that pupation was not did not ever occur on Vipcot. This is for adult eclosion on squares. The first part of the graph is similar to the larval survivorship shown earlier, with our endpoint being 36 days, at which point all larvae were either considered to have eclosed as adults or were dead. At this point, larval survival was 45% on the conventional, compared with 25% on Bolgard and 0% on Vipcot. Only a minimum amount of survivorship was seen on Bolgard 2 and none on Wide Strike. Moving on to larval survival on flowers. Again, no mortality was seen until 3 days after infestation. And at our endpoint of 16 days, which again, 100% pupation in the non-BT line, survival was 75% on the non-BT, compared with 70% on Bolgard and 0% on Vipcot. At this same endpoint, survival was 65% on Bolgard 2 and 7% on Wide Strike. As previously shown with squares, this is just another representation of the larval survival, with the focus being on the ability of larvae to pupate. Again, no larvae were capable of successfully pupating on the Vipcot cotton line. For adult occlusion of fall armyworm on flowers, at our endpoint of 34 days, at which point all larvae were considered either dead or to have successfully occlused as adults, surviving larvae on conventional and Bolgard lines were approximately 55%, compared with 0% on the Vipcot line. And for Bolgard 2 and Wide Strike, survival was 22% and 0% respectively. In summary, for cumulative survivorship for Vipcot on squares and flowers with both 0%, compared with survivorship on conventional non-BT, which was 46% for squares and 52% for flowers, and on Bolgard, where survivorship was 23% on squares and 53% on flowers. In conclusion, significant differences were seen with Vipcot on fall armyworm in regard to larval survivorship, pupation, and cumulative life stage survivorship. With that, I would like to thank the students at the Macon Ridge Research Station for their help in not only maintaining the fall armyworm colony, but also in harvesting structures, as well as Syngenta Crop Protection for providing seed, and Louisiana Cotton Producers Association, Cotton Incorporated, and the LSU Ag Center for providing funding and support. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions you may have. Yes. Can you speak up? I'm sorry. I don't understand. I'm sorry. Correct. We cannot directly compare those lines at this time due to contractual obligations. We will in the future, but at this time we cannot.
Any other questions? We have time. If not, thank you, Jared. Thank you.